A show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks on Prometheus. For more information and news we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com. Hey!
Hello, my geeklings!
Hey, welcome, welcome, everybody.
Welcome back.
Another summer movie
Geeks summer on. Movie geekstravaganza.
Exactly. Lots of geek movies.
Yep. Yes.
We did Avengers last
week. Which I missed. Very sad.
And now?
Do you have a quick Avengers opinion?
I have nothing quick to say. I could go on and on and on.
Ianthi wasn't there last episode, but she has plenty. Email Ianthi at.
I could talk for some time.
Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Donald Marshall. I'm a video game professional here in sunny Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Ianthi Zubos, and I'm a creative director here in lovely Los Angeles, and yes, I'm a geek.
You have a lot of diphthongs going there.
I have the most amazing amount of
enormous diphthongs, Ianthi.
Inside joke, we were talking about diphthongs right before we started. Don't know why.
We actually just hang out and talk about diphthongs every once in a while.
Yeah.
So don't judge us.
It's a geek hazard.
One of the things we were talking about right before is when we all start talking about geeky stuff, and I kept yelling at these two to stop talking, to bring you up on the show. And then they turned to me and said, well, then we have nothing else to say.
We have nothing to talk to one another about. We can't talk about what we
should
talk
just
about.
Mic you all day, and then I'll just cut together the best parts.
Might be pretty entertaining, actually.
Well, how was your guys' geek week? Anything?
It was good. I mean, I launched my first Facebook game this week.
Ah,
fantastic.
So I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about. It's a soft launch. It's a very interesting experience for me because I've launched games for the Xbox, I've launched games for Wii, I've launched games for the DS. I have never launched a Facebook game before.
That seems surprising. Is it just because there's too much there that it seems daunting for a company to put it in that space?
It's a big process. Well, it's sort of like how to explain it. Everybody assumes right now that, like, you know, Facebook is the big thing. You know, the iPhone is the big thing. Everybody should be making games for the iPhone and for Facebook.
It does seem that way.
Yeah. But here's the reality of the situation. When you make games for Facebook, when you make games for the iPhone, it's sort of like throwing a rock into the ocean.
Yeah.
How do you attract attention to it? And that's sort of what everyone's noticed right now, is that if you make the best iPhone game in the world, there's no way to publicize it.
Right.
How do you publicize it? There's no way to attract attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
When you put it out there, it's going to be on this list of the most recent iPhone games for about 20 minutes before it gets pushed off that list. And then you have to hope that it gets picked up.
It's like a meme.
Yeah.
You have to make a video game meme.
Exactly. You got to hope. So it's sort of the same thing for us.
It feels like Facebook is even worse because with an iPhone, I constantly, if I'm bored, I go, let me go see what's on the today's list. And I'll flip through the store and I'll buy something for free or for 99 cents or $2 or whatever. But for Facebook, first of all, I just don't do Facebook games. But that the store there seems to be almost nothing.
Yeah, it's a highly selective process. So it's like you actually have to pay for the advertising to go to your selected customers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't talk publicly that much about our games for various reasons right now, but, like, the reason why we're doing our game is created in conjunction with the BBC.
Okay.
So, and then we're being published by a group called Six Waves. So all of our publicity goes out because we're attached to BBC. They publicize through these channels. Six Waves publishes and then publicizes through these channels. So the only reason why our game stands a chance is because of all these other connections that these mega companies have putting it out there. So like your mom and pop publisher putting this game out, unless it happens to become a meme, the way you describe it, that one little blip on the radar that for some reason gets picked up,
So you know, it's launched, but you can't talk about it.
Right now, it's what's called soft launched. It's not being publicized or talked about until it goes through all these other testing processes.
Yeah,
that you can't do until it's launched.
It's like a QA process, is it, or
it's like a weird like public beta, like secret
yeah.
beta.
Yeah. It's a secret beta right now, and it'll probably go live in another 2 weeks. Like
okay.
public,
right?
In
right.
another
public.
2 weeks.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yay.
Well, that brings up E3.
Yes.
It does.
And I did go to E3.
And I watched everything and read everything I could about E3. Mm-hmm. With all the press conferences, everything.
I saw your live tweeting, Don, and I paid attention for a minute, and then I got sucked into work, and it was all over.
I am the jaded veteran at this point. I'm sort of just... I wander around. I have a pattern. Like, mm-hmm. I know where things are laid out. I walk in. I turn left. I go forward. I go forward. I go forward. I turn right. I go forward. I go forward. I go forward. And I'm done, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I was sort of underwhelmed this year.
Did you see anything at the... well, we'll talk about it later. Keep going. We'll talk about the big stuff first.
The pattern of that I'm calling beige bullets and blood continues. Of lots of war games set in sandy places that all look exactly alike.
I wonder
alike.
Why.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Well, there's a game now, speaking of exactly that it's a science fiction ish game, but the whole idea is that sand is a big part of the gameplay.
Because we've never seen
sand
that before.
Storms and sand... avalanches and all this stuff, and I'm like, really? That just
more beige
doesn't seem like I care that much about
yeah.
it.
Mm.
To be that much of a selling point, it's like, really, sand is your big selling point?
Yeah. A few years ago, it was sort of this light blue, moody nighttime stuff, and now it's just beige, you
right.
know, beige and bright sunlight. And
the I think what's going on. I mean, I watched all the. Conferences from Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, EA, and Ubisoft. It seemed, well, Nintendo has a new game system coming out, none of which looks interesting to me.
No. I was looking at their fitness programs on their new Wii console, uh-huh. and it's like...
It's just as stupid as Wii Fit.
Yeah, it's Wii Fit with an iPad.
You hold your hand.
Yeah, so it's like...
I think one of the big problems that when I watched it, I they couldn't show me a game that, like, you know, when the Wii came out, you were looking at something that the other games, other people just didn't have at all. They
yes.
were, you know, you were swinging a racket and playing
right.
tennis, essentially.
Yeah, right.
They didn't show anything that was amazing on this new system that you felt like that you couldn't do. In fact, a lot of the games they showed was... games that were already out on Sony and Microsoft. So it was like, hey, you know, you can play Batman on ours too
mm-hmm.
next year. Well, I played Batman 2 years ago. So I'm going to buy it again? I think they kind of failed on selling that new product. Now, it is Nintendo, and they always seem to kind of pull it out at the end. But and then the problem with the other two big console
manufacturers... And that's something I think is worth... specifically addressing, you have to respect Nintendo's history of innovation. Like they that's something definitely worth addressing.
Yes.
I do respect that.
Right.
You know,
I just didn't see it there. So if it exists, they're going to need to show us in the future what's innovative.
They're going to have to step it up.
The Sony and Microsoft, who does Xbox and PlayStation 3, mm-hmm. I think we just see the problem here is that. Their sales are doing pretty well for their current consoles.
Yeah.
They don't want to announce a new piece of hardware because they're doing just fine. And so we're getting to that end of an era where we're seeing games like, yeah, that's kind of like last year's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even some clones of like Nintendo stuff on the Sony side.
Right.
Which I thought was very strange. Like a Sony Smash Brothers, basically. Did you see that game?
Yeah.
Where it's... Sony is cloning the Nintendo Smash Brothers with, I can't even remember what it's called. I'm just calling it Sony Smash Brothers because that's what it is.
Right.
But the problem is Sony doesn't really have the iconic characters that Nintendo does.
Mm.
So I'm like, well, I don't really know why I'd want to see these characters beating up on each other. Like Sony's got Kratos and Flaming Head Guy from Twisted Metal and
Right. No, right.
Icarus?
Uncharted guy.
Uncharted guy. Who's,
Drake.
Whose selling point is he's a guy. A
regular dude.
He's a regular dude in khakis. Awesome. You know?
So no, I agree.
Yeah, it's...
That's not like Mario versus, you know...
Yeah, Nintendo comes up with very iconic characters. Sony has failed to do that, you know, so...
Eh.
It's weird.
Actually, did you see that video game? I keep wanting to call it The Watchmen. Watch Dogs?
No, actually, Clint told me about that one, and I have to look it up.
There's kind of one game that really stood out to me, and it was called Watch Dogs, and it was essentially like this open world game where you had like all of Chicago, like the entire city, and everybody in it. Like there was just filled with people, and you could kind of hack into everybody's phone, every stoplight. You had access to everything. So when you walked around, you could like click on somebody and listen to an entire phone conversation, and they would be, you know, arguing with their wives and stuff. And it was pretty damn impressive looking, just the scale of it.
What's the plot?
We're not sure, but you kind of get this idea that there's a network of like secret society or a group that is watching over, and you actually kind of
I have to tell you that sounds
city.
Insanely creepy to me. It quite looks, frankly, it looks like stalkers in training. I'm like,
it looks kind of, it has a kind of a creepiness to it, which is kind of worked for it.
Yeah,
and that was the one that seemed pretty impressive to me. But
that
other than
sounds
that,
somewhat innovative too, which was not a big thing at E3 this year, honestly.
Right, right.
I watched along an entire row, and I don't think I saw a non-sequel. You know,
right? Wow. Yeah, there wasn't.
For me, the surprise was it seemed to be the year of the fighting game. It seemed like every fighting game that I like had a sequel coming out this year.
Well, there you go.
You know, which is very
since
strange
you still
to me.
Since you still play the other fighting games.
I am the last one who does, you know, which it's just strange to me to see these sequels coming out because nobody plays them anymore. It's a dead game type.
Don, so. How are the Booth Babes?
I also a dying breed. There were not a lot of them this year. And even fewer booth boys this year. I hate to say it, but apparently when the booth babes go away, the booth boys are the first one to get the axe.
They're the they're the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah, the canary in the coal mine, yep. Sven, the Call of Duty boy, did not make it back this year. So.
Oh, he's the shirtless guy with the helmet?
Yeah.
The guy's there every year.
Yeah, he was the first booth boy they hired.
Yeah.
When they sort of realized that a lot of the buyers were women, Activision was like, I guess we should hire a guy, and then the buyers kept coming back for Call of Duty. So it worked.
Like funny that.
Oh, that's crazy. All right, any other video game shenanigans?
No, I was underwhelmed this year. And even people who went for the first time, like I had a lot of people in my office who were first timers at E3, kept coming back going like, I expected more. You know?
Yeah. I think next year when we have announcements of new hardware where we're going to see some like graphics that just blow people's minds and maybe some new concepts that blow people's minds.
But I'm betting next year will be 4Play to 2 years from now. That's when we'll see the fun
stuff. But we'll
stuff.
See start seeing demos. Well, even now they came out with some software demos for the new next generation that were pretty mind blowing. And part of what's mind blowing is that they're making it super easy for developers now. Before they would come up, there's companies that make graphics engines so that other companies can license them, so you don't have to make the video game over and over and over and over and over again. And these companies make a lot of money licensing out game engines, but they've been notoriously complex. And I read an article about the guys who did Unreal Engine 4, which is the new engine coming out, and they were focusing not just graphics fidelity, but making it so that your team that's building a video game can shrink instead of grow. Because they said, well, last time we saw people going from about 20 to 30 developers to 100 to 500 developers.
Wow.
And we said, well, if the next generation comes out, we can't go to 1,000 people. It just can't happen. So they're trying to make their game go back down to under 100 by developing tools that don't need programmers, that you can actually just skip the programmer on a lot of the parts of game development. I think it's a great idea. and hopefully then indie.
That'd be nice.
Indie
all those
game.
Unemployed programmers probably disagree.
Oh, I'm sure that there'll be plenty. They're going to need programmers to do amazing work. They just won't need as many.
500.
Well, what I'm hoping is that some of those programmers will go and start little mini independent companies and make cool little small games, because some of those have come out to be some of the better ones in the last couple of years. Like,
well, I was just talking about this with some people at work, where it's innovation in gaming never seems to occur at the highest levels. Innovation occurs, honestly, at the level below casual, like at the indie level, filters up through the casual level, and then filters
gobbled
through
up.
Casual up to A, up to the AAA level.
Portal being an example of students essentially making something pretty brilliant and then getting bought and gobbled up and integrated into an amazing game.
Absolutely.
That won, by the way, Game of the Year above all those multi-million dollar games that year.
And pretty handily, too. I mean,
pretty handily, yeah. So, anyway.
Do we have news?
Yes, I will start with news. I have some board games to talk about and some news.
Excellent.
I'm going to start with one news thing. Actually, I don't even need my iPad for this. So apparently, and I'm not sure exactly how this got out, but those of you who watch Game of Thrones may have noticed this. I did not.
No, I completely
I don't think
see this in the slightest.
I think this somehow got slipped out in kind of a Hollywood insider.
I read that they talked about it on the some bonus footage, essentially.
The DVD commentary.
About that it resembled. Well, you tell.
So maybe it did start there. There was some footage, some behind-the-scenes footage where someone commented about how one of the severed heads on a pike in King's Landing resembled George Bush. And, in fact, it was a severed head of a cast of George Bush. It kind of turned,
it's
to the
turned
side.
Turned in profile. And it's got long, shaggy hair.
Yeah, it's not...
If you're looking for it in the show, it's the severed head sitting next to Septa Mordain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, all hell broke loose on the intertubes. And HBO apologies started flying right away.
Several, crazy right-wingers. The crazy right-wingers. Not crazy right-wingers, but crazy right-wingers.
Well, it is...
It's inappropriate,
especially if you didn't know anything, you assume that it was intentional. They claim that it was not intentional and that to save money, they essentially just grabbed heads in prop rooms, put wigs on them, and stuck them up on pikes.
They say they buy the heads in bulk.
Right. And they're apparently bulk castings of George Bush's several heads.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Anyway, I think the fervor has died down, but there are photos of stills on the internet, and quite frankly, looks like George Bush.
When you look at it, absolutely. It when it's full frame, it's a detail that nobody's eye is drawn to because you're watching the interplay between the characters, but when it's a still that's blown up on the internet, you're like, look, there's George Bush on the bike.
Yeah.
But honestly, nobody noticed it until the DVD commentary came out.
Right.
Yeah,
until
somebody
called it out. Yeah.
You know.
I think they called it out because they thought it was silly.
Yeah.
And they didn't know that it was
going to
blow up.
It was
going to
start a shitstorm. Yeah.
So yes, inappropriate. I have a feeling that it was probably what they say, not as intentional as they
claim. Sure somebody somewhere thought it was funny.
I'm sure somebody thought it was funny.
I think the vehemence
of the reaction, I think, has been a little crazy pants.
A little crazy pants, but honestly, Don, I would be totally bent out of shape if it was a Democratic president.
If it was Clinton up there, I would not be.
What if it was Barack Obama?
If it was Barack Obama up there, I would not be demanding that they recall all the DVD boxes.
Said that it was pretty damn inappropriate
it's inappropriate. Regardless,
I would not be demanding
political...
an apology from HBO.
HBO's delivered up as many apologies as you could want.
I can see HBO saying, listen, that was a... I could see them apologizing.
Yeah.
Listen,
I'm in agreement that it's inappropriate. And I could say to the creators of the show, dudes, Yeah, the creators of the show, they owe an apology.
Yeah.
The set decorators, oh boy, Nelly, do they owe somebody an apology.
I guarantee HBO had no clue.
Yeah, HBO, no way in hell do they have any idea.
But they need to do an apology because they have to apologize for their employees. Yeah. That's how it works.
But a box set recall?
No.
No, that's absurd.
That's crazy pants. That's crazy pants.
But if you're that upset, do not watch season 3. But let me tell you,
it's good.
It's just going to get crazier.
Anyway, I wanted to throw that out because I thought that was a little crazy, and it did hit the inner tubes. Anybody else want to do a news story?
I love that you're calling it the inner tubes.
The inner tubes.
Yeah, I call it the interwebs. But
interwebs.
All right. Yeah, interwebs. It's all good.
The series of tubes.
Yeah. I have a small note. Basically, I saw it this week that Thomas Pynchon is actually going to be his works are going to be released in digital format. He and Ray Bradbury were two people who were specifically holding out against doing digital editions of their work.
Now is Ray?
Ray Bradbury is available on in digital format as I understand it. I believe he has ebooks, according to my news source right here. Yeah,
he gave in fairly recently, too, if I recall.
Yeah, it is fairly recent. The Thomas Pynchon stuff is coming soon. And the reason I thought this was, all of my news is vaguely space related. And the reason I thought this would fit into the theme of the week for me was that because we had the transit of Venus that just happened, the last book that he wrote, Mason Dixon, largely featured the transit of Venus, the last cycle of the transit of Venus, not this current one, which was back in the 1600s, and they're surveying the new world, and it's cool. It's Thomas Pynchon. It's out there.
What was the reason for him not wanting to for either of them?
There's never been an explanation. I mean, he lives in Manhattan. He's not a recluse, but he's not someone who does a lot of publicity.
Well, I think if you tell somebody that. Without much information about the internet and the people on the internet, if you say, "Hey, do you want us to put your document that you yourself could copy and paste and send to 1,000 people for free on email on the internet?" You would probably go, "No, that's not a good idea."
Well, and I can't speak for the authors. I mean, I think Ray Bradbury, J.K. Rowling, Thomas Pynchon are some of the ones that were definitely delayed moving to the digital format. There's something to be said for books. I mean, like the art of bookmaking. I mean, there's something really concrete. There's an art form to it. I mean, you do special editions, you do things like that, and there are a lot of people who have an emotional connection to that.
Well, there are people who will buy books.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that there's an emotional connection to that some people find hard to let go of. Into the digital world.
I'm one of those people. I still cling to my paper.
I have a
but
ton
don't
of
you
books
believe
in my
that
house.
That should be.
Oh, yeah, I'm not like, going to force my
the
paper
consumer's
on other people.
Choice?
Yeah, the consumer's, yes. Like, if I want to read it on a scroll. Yeah. I could go buy it on a scroll. Yeah.
But we were also talking about artists. Artists have particular ideas about how their work should be consumed.
Right. So, I would, if I was making Avatar and I knew that the only way people were going to watch it was on their iPhone, I would be pissed.
Even worse. Yeah. Yeah, that would be
like, really? I'm working this hard on high definition 3D with surround sound. You're watching on a goddamn iPhone. That would drive me nuts.
That would be frustrating.
Yeah.
Oh, and along those lines, I think it's we haven't had a show since Ray Bradbury has passed.
That is true.
We have to at least acknowledge his passing on the show.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, he was very old, and it's not a shock or anything, but it is strange. When it happened, I was like, wow, because Ray Bradbury is like...
He's
the king of science fiction to me. Well, I lived in the world of Ray Bradbury.
Well, and he's been alive and productive and engaged with his fans since we've been alive.
Yeah.
well before and on. So it's a strange thing not to,
I mean, not only that, but his imagination. I mean, so much of what we think of as our ideas of the future and so much, really, of the world, the way the world has taken shape. Came from his mind.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he shaped how we... the science fiction canon that we all know, and we're going to critique Prometheus for... I mean, all of that is a function of... It's built on the foundation that he and a few other people built,
It's true. Yeah, it was... I was expecting it. I mean, he was an old man. And still, I was like, wow, that is just feels weird.
Feels weird. Agreed.
I mean, there are certain people that just you feel will go on forever. Like, I'll admit it, when Betty White goes, I'm going to be wrecked. You know, I'm going to be wrecked.
I'm just preferring to think that she's going to live forever, which is what I was thinking about Steve Jobs, too, to be honest. Yeah. I'm always surprised. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, but these people are like, you know, Betty White is what, 92, 91?
She's up there.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And still working. That's
working like two shows.
And having a hell of a time. I mean, that's really the best part of it.
Yeah. Strange. All right, another piece of news. This is just another real quick one. We all know that in the UK, advertising guidelines are stricter here than in the United States. And if you even kind of stray outside of false advertising there, you get the hammer smacked down. Well, Mass Effect 3 got sued because Mass Effect 3 claimed that all these decisions that you made throughout the game would change the ending of the story.
Right.
And they advertised it that way. And there was a number of people, I'm sure a number of lawyers especially, who said, no, you doesn't really change that much, and you're false advertising. So
really?
They got sued, but they proved to to the government that there was enough of a difference in
BioWare proved
okay. that there was enough of a difference in the game to allow the advertising to have been truthful. So they survived that. But I love this idea that like you just freaking lied to us. You're going down.
That's
alien thought here in the United States where people make broad misstatements and just bold-faced, try to brave it out.
I mean, aside from the Skechers ruling that just happened recently,
which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, where basically Skechers made these shoes that had these, like, basically a chunk missing under the heel, so it basically had like a little rocking.
Oh, that was supposed to make you
section.
It was supposed to make your butt look great.
Yeah. Peter has those.
Yeah, by the way. Yeah, and he swore by them. He loved them.
He loved them. Yeah.
But basically, Skechers just the courts just basically ruled that Skechers had to give a full refund to anyone who bought them.
Because they just were flat out lies.
They couldn't support any of the claims that they made.
So now, did they do a test on asses before and after to make sure they did not look good?
I think there's no measurable difference.
Oh, I see. Was there an investigation committee?
I would love to see that study, but I think the point was they didn't do any.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, basically, I think what they found it like the doctor they used whose rulings they were citing was a chiropractor married to the head of public relations that was in charge of the campaign.
Do you guys remember there was this genius Jack in the Box ad a million years ago where they had this doctor who was like reviewing their food and was basically like saying that bacon makes your hair grow back, and they're like, where did you get this guy? And they're like, the tobacco industry. It was just genius because that's who that dude is, you know what I mean? Seriously,
it's amazing stuff.
Amazing stuff. I have another space related item.
Space.
I was super excited yesterday to read that Neil deGrasse Tyson is teaming up with Wu-Tang's GZA to do a hip-hop record about space.
Oh, my God.
How hot is that, right? Come on. So let me look at the article here. But I'm basically, like, it's Wu-Tang founding member, and he met with Neil deGrasse Tyson to talk about his new record, which is going to be called Dark Matter.
Nice.
And so...
it's a good title.
Hip-hop record about space.
We'll see
hot.
About that. Nerds totally are excited. Totally. Now, if the album sells, that will be the test.
I'm curious.
Oh, and the album may, important word, may, also come with an illustrated book featuring a glossary of terms.
That's some edumacating going on.
Yeah. Yep.
I love this.
Hot damn.
Did you see his little blog about the summer blockbuster movies where he commented about the science of...
I actually haven't seen it yet because I hadn't seen most of the movies that
it's cute. He he rags on Prometheus a little bit, and he will say some things that we're going to say and everybody said. But one of the things is he says, I will not let the line where someone said, we're over a half a billion miles away. And he goes, that doesn't get you past Jupiter.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
like,
right.
You have no understanding of space if you're using terms like a half a billion,
yeah,
which is great. But he did like Thor's hammer. Because it's apparently made by a collapsed star or
something.
Yeah,
exactly.
And he loves the idea that you can't lift it because it weighs like a couple battleships,
but,
you know, an ounce of it.
Nobody told him it's because it's magic.
Well, no. You just need the powers. You need the powers of Thor.
No, but the whole thing is you can lift it if you're pure of heart. So, like, Captain America can lift it in the comics.
Yes, but it's still made out of a neutron star.
Yeah.
Captain America can lift it in the comics?
If I recall correctly, Captain America has lifted it once or twice.
I don't remember that at all.
Because he's pure of heart.
Yeah. Right?
Well, we
that
all
makes
know
sense.
That.
That's the rules. You can't break. You can't say it's rules. Only coded to Thor.
Yeah. Those are the rules.
That's the rules, Don.
It's not a strength.
It's science, Don. All right. I actually have some non-news, but they kind of fit into news.
Do it.
As usual. I have two new... Or Don may say that they are not new. One is not new.
I have not played either of these. So.
One is not new, but one is new. One is new to me. I can't even pronounce
Turo.
It. Turo.
Which is a very nice sauce made of pine nuts.
It's a Chinese term meaning, I think it means something like your success means the failure of others in a way. Something
oh, really?
Like that. But it's a super, super simple board game. It's spelled, by the way, T-S-U-R-O. It's beautiful looking. You can play up to 8 people, which is great. And you can play it in like 10 minutes, which is also great.
Nice.
Real short little games. But it's kind of like a light cycle game. What you do is you have these little tokens that you move around the board. And you place tiles that have little like... paths on them.
And I'm seeing it's 8 plus, so it's like it's eight. Probably a good game for ages 8 plus.
Yes, super, super easy to
so
play.
So it's good for your non-gamer friends to learn too.
It's like a good starting game to get people worked up to board games. But essentially what you're trying to do is move your keep your token on the board because the paths move you around, and if it ever moves you off the board, then you're out of the game. Or if you crash into somebody else, you're out of the game. It's kind of like Tron Light Cycles in a way, but more old Chinese looking. but I played it. It's very fun. It's super fast.
So basically Tron Light Cycles.
Exactly.
Okay. And somewhere Matt just glares at me.
I would pick it up if you want. It's kind of a filler game. If you want to be able to play lots of people, short little games while you're waiting or deciding to play a longer game.
Yeah.
In a way. The other game I got, this one is more nerdy. This one's called Infiltration. It's by Fantasy Flight Games, and it takes place in the Android universe, which is another one of their board games. This is a cyberpunk game where each person plays a thief who's breaking into a facility, a research facility, to glean as much data from them as possible. And get out of the facility before the police show up and arrest everybody. So it's very simple, kind of a push-your-luck game where you move into this facility, going room from room from room, trying to download this data. The further you go, the more chances you're getting data, but the chance of you getting out becomes slim. And so it's kind of a screw-your-neighbor type of game.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun as hell. You can play it with five or six. You can play with 6 people, which is also very rare for a board game, and you can play it in like an hour or less. It's very themey. It's very science fiction-y. I would totally pick this up. Infiltration. It's fun. You would like this, Don.
Cool.
Those are my two board games. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I have to actually make a correction to what I said before because I was reading from a piece of paper. It's not GZA. That's how you spell it. It's GZA.
Oh, okay.
Just FYI from the Wu-Tang. There
that
you go.
Just sounds naughty.
It is kind of naughty. There you go. And I had one more space-related thing.
Okay.
It's about the end times.
Oh, man.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So Astronomers have, for years, have known that the Milky Way galaxy and the Andromeda galaxies are headed toward one another, but they haven't known if they were actually going to collide, because they needed to basically be able to plot the sideways trajectory of the galaxies.
Right.
And they've actually managed to do this. So you need to start planning for the end times. You have a minute, because apparently it's going to be about 4 billion years, and then kaboom.
4 billion.
Billion with
Shoot.
A B.
Damn.
I know.
Start the clock.
Start working. Start working now.
All right. And by collide, that just means more messy stars.
Well,
like we may, just because we may get flung around more, but
no, that's not exactly
mean,
right.
Well, I mean, just, it doesn't mean destruction.
No. Here, I'll here. Shown in the, there's a computer animation I can give you.
Because I've seen computer animations of galaxies colliding, and a lot you see big splashes and swirls.
Well, according to this, they'll be slowly drawn together due to their mutual gravitational pull, colliding roughly 4 billion years from now.
Oh yeah.
So they'll orbit around one another before merging into one big galactic pile up.
Oh yeah.
Basically, it says they may either hit each other directly, smack on the face, or they may sort of graze each other. But either way, after the first passage, they get slowed down a lot, and that slowing down leads them to fall back together and merge into one.
So we just have one big ass galaxy.
Well, basically, the resulting super galaxy will be different from either of the current ones. Instead of the elegant, flat, spiral-shaped disk that we know, a.k.a. our galaxy, the Milky Way, the new galaxy will be a three-dimensional ball of stars.
I'm okay with living in a ball of stars.
You're okay with a high-rise?
Yeah, we're just upgrading.
We're upgrading.
So we live in this.
We live in the cloud.
We live in the cloud.
Steve Jobs would approve.
So that will probably be another 4 billion. So we about 8 billion before you have to live into a.
Well, it just is also. It actually won't have an enormous impact on the Earth or our solar system, basically, since the galaxy is mostly empty space. But it sounds really good.
A lot of sloshing around.
Yeah, you know.
Might get dizzy.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. I'm just having visions of Thundar the Barbarian coming to pass, you know. They destroyed the moon.
They destroyed the moon.
I've awesome. Heard that Space 1999 is trying to be remade as a movie. And I'm thinking, how are you going to remake that concept? Because it doesn't work.
Well, it's 13 years too late.
Yeah.
Well, 13 years too late. But it's also, you know, an explosion on the moon does not send the moon flying off into a speed that is faster than light so you can visit other planets.
You're saying the science is too... People are too sophisticated about science to buy that premise?
Yeah, you can't do that anymore. So.
I'd love to believe that. I'm not sure that's true because, I mean, look at stuff like...
You could just say that God made it happen.
Oh, God.
Oh, thanks, Don.
Kansas would be fine with
jump
that.
Jump right in there.
Always have to bring it in.
What?
Jump right
what?
In there.
Just all put right. it in a Texas textbook.
Well, I mean, we had a movie about sending a
just
ship of people to an asteroid to blow it up after. It's all absurd.
That can happen.
Sure.
That can happen.
Sure.
All right, I have one last piece of news, and this is... Okay, this is not news. This is something you need to look up. There was some... inventors, I'm going to say, not researchers, inventors, who made a last moments robot comfort robot.
Dude, you bring up the robot shit around me all the time. You know how much I hate the robots.
I found this because I knew that you were going to do it. This freaked me out.
Dude, don't tell me. Just don't tell me. Let me live in ignorance.
It's a small little device that sits on the side of a person who's dying and pats their arm and says things like,
"Oh, dude,
I'm here.
No.
I'm here for your last moments. Your family and your friends will miss you. You are not alone. I am here with you."
And okay, if your video. Family and friends are going to miss you, why the fuck aren't they sitting by your bedside? Why are they buying a robot to do it? That's so fucked
wrong.
Up. I just don't
you
even...
You were probably an annoying little bitch the entire time of your life, and they hate your guts. Your kids hate your guts, and they bought this damn robot, this Roomba.
If they hate your guts, just leave you. What's the
Well, it's all good. Roomba's all here to show you off.
I've actually read.
Wow.
Japan has a demographics problem where they have like an enormous amount of really elderly people. Yeah. Mind you, their elderly tend to be very healthy compared to, say, our elderly. Just lifestyle.
It's like over 50%. It's crazy.
Yeah, but it's the numbers are really staggering, and they definitely have explored the use of robots.
Yeah.
But I think that's deeply, deeply disturbing.
Yeah, they have even they have robots, those little cuddly robots now.
The cuddly robots gross me out. I'm sorry. Hate them. Hate them with a passion.
Furbies?
I still haven't seen them. I've heard stories about them, but I've never actually seen those things. You're talking about the robots that like they work nursing homes?
Well,
I don't know that they actually... Are they actually... They're working on that. I don't know that
there's a couple of hospitals have some roving robots, but they're not as functional.
They're like teddy bear type things, right?
Well, no, now they have these things that they're giving. They're like pets. They're giving,
like a
older
Daggett?
People. Yeah, like little weird wormy.
Oh my God.
I did say that. Sorry.
You went to the Daggett.
I did. Sorry.
But they don't want to give them live animals because it's just too messy. So they're giving them these robotic animals, and these old people are loving it. They're caring for them. They're getting these. They're lonely people, so they want something, and they're attaching themselves to these robots, these like mechanical things, which is just
again
just not right.
Hate the robots. Hate the robots.
Well,
oh God.
We're all going to be too.
What about a cat?
Making me bleed inside a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, look, I'll put it on the website. It's a link it's hard to watch. They have somebody laying down there pretending to be. It even calls your death. 10:43.
Aaron.
Oh my God.
Aaron, you always do this to me. You and the damn robots.
All righty.
Let's move on to our topic, shall we?
Let's move on to our topic.
Because we can talk about robots there.
All right, we are back. Actually, we weren't back. It only took billionths of a second for you.
For us, there was a short break and some Doritos involved.
Short break, Doritos, and we have an expert. JP has joined us, a good friend of mine who has seen Prometheus and has strong opinions.
I have some issues.
So we have brought you in
to
fill in the discussion because we have lots to talk about in this movie.
We
also want to bring in the other Alien movies because I think it's appropriate to compare, contrast, and talk about those too. So feel free to bring up anything like that. So, all right, Prometheus. It's Ridley Scott's comeback to science fiction.
Right.
The man who has who changed science fiction, in my opinion, 30 years ago, twice.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair
statement. My opinion, personally, made the best film ever, Blade Runner. Made the best horror movie ever, Alien.
So you're saying you're a fan?
I'm a big fan. And I
going
was
out
worked
limb,
up. In fact, I talked about this for like a year on the show. I was worked up about this.
So
absolutely.
Is there just a chance, Aaron, that maybe you got yourself a little overexcited for this
movie? I was worried about being a little too worked up. And so I calmed down. I bought my midnight ticket anyway.
JP is shaking his head for those of you in Radio Land.
I don't know if even if you came in with low expectations that this film would not have disappointed you anyway.
I agree 100%.
I agree with you 100%. This movie is garbage.
It is.
Actually, I don't go that far.
It's beautiful. I thought some of the cinematography. You're going to fight me on that. All right.
But I'll get to that later. Okay. So does anybody in this room think this is a good movie?
I'm not going to say that. I exist on the positive end of the spectrum.
Okay. All right,
I was entertained. I'm not going to say it was a perfect movie. I'm not even going to say it was a great movie. I'm not even going to say it's a movie I'm going to remember all that well in a couple months. But
it was an average movie to you.
I left having had a good time. I immediately got into a fight with the person I watched the movie with as we left over some nitpicky details that I thought were ridiculous, but...
Well, I'm going to bring up some details, and you can tell me whether I'm being too nitpicky.
Well, and I'm just going to say I was bummed out. I left the movie theater, and I was depressed.
I was very bummed out. It was 3 o'clock in the morning for me, and I was in a bad mood.
Well, you're nuts. In a midnight movie. You know, I have to say, the cure to Prometheus is Alien Resurrection, which I watched the next day.
And you went...
Oh, I haven't made it. I've done Alien and Aliens. I haven't made it through 3 and 4 yet, so we'll see. Because I've been trying to cleanse myself of Prometheus.
Okay. That fourth movie is awful.
It's awful, yet it has actually a better story than Prometheus.
Okay. I know. Okay, but you know what? I put Alien 3 above Prometheus.
Oh, I would too. Absolutely.
I would have to see it again, honestly.
Because that makes more sense, at least.
Resurrection makes more sense. But Resurrection is not nearly as good a movie as Prometheus, if that makes sense to you.
I get it. Yeah, no.
Prometheus was much better than Aliens versus Predator. Come on.
Right.
Those are
okay, these are some really low bars we're putting up, people. Really
okay,
low
so
bars.
Let's
I'm just
going to
squeeze
beginning.
A positive statement out of you. That's all I'm saying.
All so let's start from the beginning. Here's the problems I have with this movie.
So let's lead off with spoiler alert. Come on. We're talking about Prometheus. There's going to be some spoilers here.
There's going to be a lot.
It's all
from here on out, I'm going to be talking specifics about the movie. We've given you a week.
Right. Anyone who listens to this who hasn't seen Prometheus probably shouldn't be listening to this.
Right.
I mean, you're not.
Why would you?
You're not
really... Or listen to it and just don't go see Prometheus.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's what I have a problem with the movie. I immediately start very early into the movie. I start to realize that this plot was only going to work if every single character in the movie were complete morons. Sorry about that sound. My computer is buzzing for about 40 seconds. You probably won't be able to hear it, though. that every single person in the movie had to be a moron in order to get the plot to keep moving.
Yes.
They had to do stupid things.
I would actually say more fundamentally, it's just that they didn't bother to make characters. Like, if you go back to Alien and you look at there were characters, and it made sense organically that they did things that they did. In Prometheus, it was more like, well, we need the plot to go here, so we'll make him do this. And it had nothing to do with who that
That's
person
absolutely.
Was.
But
I,
absolutely.
It was That's a statement I agree with. Yeah. I couldn't find a character in that movie with both hands.
No.
All of every character obeyed the plot.
Yeah.
I agree. But it was very quickly that the moron factor starts setting
in. Oh, there's a huge moron factor, too. Not arguing with you on that.
And
just the logistics of funding something, it just staggers disbelief that you wouldn't... If you're going to go into the mechanics of the plot, if you're a billionaire funding this thing, you're not going to hire the best people. No, you're going to hire a bunch of morons to do it for you.
Well, and also, somehow they hadn't been introduced to each other beforehand.
Before they went into hypersleep. Yeah,
they're meeting each other after they wake up. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that started happening right off the bat is I started seeing and hearing things that I've seen and heard before from the series. Like when I heard, I'm just here to make money. I'm thinking Alien, where I just want my share.
Can we up our shares?
Can we up our shares? Absolutely. It was like, I'm like, really? He's going to have a character that says the exact same thing that... I mean, that was 10 minutes into the movie.
All of it felt incredibly lazy to me. I mean, like, I knew what some of the expectations would be, like, for people who'd seen the other Alien series. And they were like, okay, here it is. But, like, in the dumbest form possible.
To me, it felt like they were planting echoes of the earlier movies in early on. Like, so the basketball reference to the other movie.
Yeah.
The guy I saw the movie with mentioned that. I missed it, honestly.
From Alien 4.
Yeah.
Yes.
The guy demanding the larger share, echo to that movie, it's like, fine.
Yeah.
It felt forced, but whatever. I just sort of moved past it and went with it.
Right. I was trying to get over it at the beginning, too.
And it's just surface. Like, there just wasn't anything there. Like,
well,
just
the moron character thing, as the movie went on, started turning into... the plot hole problem, which was these characters not only are moronic, but they're doing things that don't make sense. It's not that they're morons.
Yeah.
They don't damn sense.
It's like the filmmaker was like, oh, I want them to do this, so I'll have them do it. And you're like,
no reason
why.
So we have one of our... probably the most interesting character is the android that's in there. He's interesting because the only real character development we have is the fact that he was probably the best actor in the movie. So he kind of portrayed what we needed to know about the character just through his acting, because other than that, we didn't really
get it. They gave him enormous amount of silences to begin the movie, so we were able to feed an enormous amount of character into the movie. We were able to see whatever we wanted to see in that character.
Sure, okay.
Through an enormous
that was
opening point.
The, probably the best part of the whole movie.
It was wonderful.
Agreed.
That 5 minutes of just David walking around.
Agreed.
You know, learning,
taking care of his duties and taking care of the ship, like a mother.
And seeing him too with that Lawrence of Arabia sequence,
changing the color of his hair.
It has no payoff at the end of the movie.
But it was
a great sequence while it lasted.
And that was one of those setups where you were like, "This is a defining character moment. It's going to, this is going to show up." Like, you were expecting that to be very important, and it just didn't. It didn't say anything. It said something about the character. It just didn't have anything to
do with
the character that
else.
We were seeing.
Yeah, no, it just,
right.
There's no payoff.
So his, to me, the most intriguing character, started making decisions that made no sense. He goes into this, alien spaceship, sticks his finger in absolutely everything.
Right. Well, again,
as you do,
I think we were supposed to believe, and it kind of was there, that he was on his own agenda, which was Wayland, who was looking for the Fountain of Youth.
Right.
Okay,
but
I get that.
Yeah,
but what does that have anything to do with infecting the?
All right. The answer I can give you for that is only stuff that I've learned after reading so many articles on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. I'm fascinated.
That's the big flaw.
That's the big flaw.
That was my big sticking point, was him poisoning the other crew member for no apparent reason.
Right.
Yeah.
This is what I have learned, or what people have guessed online. That sounds reasonable. He reads Waylon's dream, and then Charlize corners him and says, what did he say? And he said, try harder.
Mm-hmm.
And him infecting the other crew member was an experiment to see if perhaps this black goo is the secret to the Fountain of Youth, and see what happens if you infect a person, if they will become young or have a rebirth or whatever.
It was just a random experiment to infect somebody to see if they would live forever.
And this is something only after reading many articles and people conjecturing, because it's not spelled out. It's very unclear.
Yeah. And there's zero.
Like, when I was watching it, my conjecture was he went there to talk with them, right? That was the premise for everything, was to talk to these
progenitors. Well, that he'd studied the languages and that he was
the
person that
could
then
communicate. There were no progenitors to talk to. So, I guess my assumption was, well, if you can't find one, make one. That was my assumption.
Was
that if this is the genetic code that, like, because the key that we're seeing in the beginning is they seed with this stuff. They seed planets with this goop.
Apparently this robot, this android knows that.
Yeah, that's apparently. So it was my assumption, so this is the world seed. He's putting a drop of the world seed into this person.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to bring that spark of the beginning to this person to speak to him.
Right.
The godhead into the mind of this man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's fascinating. Oh, now he's a psychotic. I was a little disappointed by that direction, but...
Right.
But we didn't even sort of, you just glossed over the fact that the very beginning of the movie, you didn't know where you were or anything like that.
You mean at the seating part?
Right.
I'm fine with that. There's okay with a little bit of mystery, because you were like, oh, what, we're going to learn what that's all
about.
And
you figure that somewhere in the movie that you will have a eureka moment and you'll be like, I get it now. It all comes together.
Now, you understand that now, even though Ridley Scott says, it could be any planet, which drives me up the wall.
Yeah.
I think for my own sanity, I'm going to believe that was Earth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We're all on the same page.
And that there was a sequence that was cut out at Fox's request,
mm-hmm.
of this whole, of the elders of the engineers in robes and everything. There's a picture online now.
Okay.
And it was a whole, ceremony. And they were walking with him, and then he was sacrificing himself for the greater good, or whatever you want to say.
Right.
A sequence that I think would have helped a lot,
I guess. But that brings up one thing. Okay, so we have all these plot problems with what in the hell was going on.
Yes.
And what the whole movie means. There is now somebody who wrote this article who apparently has also went back and listened to Ridley Scott's previous interviews about... What happened?
Oh, are you going to both talk? Yeah, go.
So, So one of the things that we hear about in the movie is they walk through this alien ship, and they see a whole bunch of these dead engineers who are the genesis of the human race. And they said, these things have been dead for 2,000 years.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently,
this has been cut out of the script, but it was in there. What happened 2,000 years ago? Because now they want to go and kill, they want to go back to Earth and destroy Earth. I don't know how we know that. The captain of the ship suddenly figures that out.
Everything is like, I think or I guess. There's
really... Absolutely. No, it's all conjecture. Because you're like, I'm going to try to make meaning out of this. Yeah. Like,
so apparently these guys want to go back to Earth and kill Earth. After giving themselves and creating humanity on our planet, they now want to destroy it. What happened exactly 2,000 years ago? Well, Jesus was crucified, and that there are apparently was actually written in the script suggestions that Jesus was actually one of these
My brain never even went there.
No, nobody's no.
Of course not. Of course not.
Now, this is a little more interesting. It still doesn't make the movie
work.
Because,
like everything else in the movie, that number 2,000 could be completely arbitrary.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course,
it could be someone like 2,000 years ago. Why not 3,000?
Exactly.
Like, you have no way to know that it's significant unless you're online reading about space Jesus.
Now, it does make more, it makes it more, make more sense why there's cave paintings, because they would have to have been on Earth after the genesis of the human race for us to know about them. So they must have been on Earth walking around. So there's all these cultures with these beings still on the planet that Jesus could have been one of them. The quote, what Ridley Scott said, we thought maybe that was too, quote, on the nose. If anything in this movie was on the nose, it would have been a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
But I don't, still doesn't make, it makes it more interesting, but it doesn't make the movie work. Nothing in that movie makes any sense.
No.
No. And, you know,
it just gets more and more frustrating as you watch it.
Absolutely.
Because all you're doing, instead of feeling like a mystery is being unraveled, you're going, that's, why are they doing that? Why is that guy doing that? Why, I mean,
and there's never an answer, because every time you get further into the movie, there's some new piece of stupidity that you're like, wait, what?
Right.
Like, it's not like something pays off, like, oh, that isn't stupid, it's because blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, there's the next, like, baffling move by whatever.
Now,
whenever. I mean, because you can pick apart bit by bit, like, scene by scene, like, you're like, why? Why?
And even, like, you know, as far
not
as a tone, like, if this is a mystery or a horror film or an action film, I didn't get any of those things from this. There's, you know, everybody thought that there's a scene in there which people are equating to the alien popping out of the chest. Uh-huh. I don't even think it comes close.
Not even
to
it.
I don't
close
either.
To it. Not
there's
even
a,
close.
This surgery scene, which I thought was silly the entire time. Everyone else has said that they liked it. A lot of people do. I was like, are you kidding
me? Well, and I'm gonna go back and be nitpicky again. If introducing the black goo is a mutagenic, whatever
catalyst of evolution.
Okay, so the one crew member's infected. Noomi Rapace's character has sex, and then she's infected with a baby. Like, why wouldn't it affect your entire system? How could you systematically go in and remove one mutant? It just doesn't even make sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't make
sense.
It
made no sense.
Anyway,
the aliens, the creation of the aliens of the movie doesn't make sense. There's always a new alien popping out. So, black goo plus worm, you know, mealworms on the floor equal. Like snake.
Hello,
creature.
Little
I know.
Cat.
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Oh, cat.
Okay, yeah.
It was embarrassing to watch.
It was.
It was.
My big problem with that is, like, these guys have been terrified of the suggestion of movement on the far side of the pyramid, and then they see something I think is freaking scary looking five feet in front of them, and he wants to cuddle with it. That was my breaking
point. It's so
point
astonishing.
That, the movie lost me long before that, but at that point, you were... There are things. I'm an editor, okay?
Ross is frustrated.
And one of the things we're always so cautious and careful about is you don't want to take someone out of the movie. This phrase, you don't want to take them out of the movie. Oh, you can't make such a jarring cut. It will take them out of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were there were actions, as you were describing, that took me out of this movie, and it happened so many times.
Yep.
Even with them taking off the masks. Oh, the air, you can breathe it. We're on an alien planet.
Exactly.
And you take off your helmet?
Yeah, exactly.
My
head's exploding watching you.
Yes. I mean, they lost me at that point. It was beautiful to look at, but I mean, they lost me before that. But the fact that they landed there, and he's like, oh, I want to go right now. And they're like, well, sunset's going to happen in 6 hours. And they're like, no, I want to open up my Christmas present. They're like, really? There's no protocol? This is a species, I'm assuming, in our world, this world that is Prometheus, we've never encountered an actual alien or another species.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is how they're reacting to it. Yeah. And the one guy, once they get in there, wants to leave.
Yeah.
Because it's not about geology.
Yeah, I mean, writing that into the story, there's no reason. Like, that didn't help the story. It hindered it. So if you say, let's leave right now. Really? You want to leave right now? Yes. Let's go immediately. That's a conscious decision to put that in the script. And that worked against it.
Well, and that's what I mean by lazy. It's because they want, the filmmaker wants someone to be isolated from the group to be able to do something. So let's just have them do it, even though it makes no sense.
Well,
it doesn't make sense on a character level. Doesn't make sense on a plot level. Doesn't make sense if you're a human being.
For this specific moment, that one didn't bother me in the slightest.
I'm a geologist. I'm going to leave the most important scientific scientific discovery because I'm a geologist and this doesn't directly apply to my field.
But that's not the reason why I was assuming he was leaving. I was looking at that as a guy that was panicking and just wanted to get the hell out.
And then he runs out.
I saw that as a fury.
And then he runs out and then runs back into the room that he had just been panicked in.
Yeah. I thought he
liked. Well, he got lost.
Even though they have probes mapping everything.
He gets lost and he goes almost outside. There's a storm. They say, don't go outside. Okay, we're going to turn back.
Yeah,
instead
that's
of
right.
sitting right there in the front door waiting to get picked up, they wander back in to the room in which they panicked in, which did not have an alien in before it, which now has an alien.
Yeah.
And they're okay with it.
I'm not defending their actions.
I'm just
saying that one moment of that impetus to leave after all this stuff happens, I get the panic thing.
No, I'm not even buying the panic thing.
We got 2-4, 2 against, yeah. And I'm telling you, I think it's weak.
I think it's beyond lazy.
This is one of those times where like 1492, Ridley Scott movie. I do not recommend that movie to other people because it is, quite frankly, boring.
It is beautiful.
The music is beautiful. And there's no error besides the fact that it's boring. This is different. This is just dumb on dumb on dumb. And as far as beauty is concerned, let's talk about that. Because I do think that there are certain movies that are so beautiful that you watch it and like that movie. This has some cool stuff in it, but it is not that amazing.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not Blade Runner amazing.
It's not enough to sell you on a movie over. No, it's not.
It's not Alien amazing. When you look at
it's not
sets,
Alien amazing.
Well, it's Alien derivative. Of course it's not Alien amazing.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean?
They were trying to go to the Geiger well, but I think they didn't feel they could go all the way because it wasn't Alien. They were trying, but
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. You know.
And the creature design, I mean, nothing in it was amazing. So that part didn't at least overshadow the
idiocy. I'm just going to go back to my rant about character because, again, you're writing a movie that's fundamental. It's
predicated?
Thank you. I was totally blanking there. I'm like... predicated on the idea that it's a scientific exploration. It's like this huge moment in science, like meeting an alien. And every single, like they couldn't figure out how to do it in a way where there's any credibility to any of these people who are supposed to be scientifically brilliant. I mean, like even when they're looking at the cave paintings, you're looking at these cave paintings, they match up and they're like, I think they want us to find them.
Right. Really?
I mean, and you're like...
Or how about the
every single time they had him, and if you go back to Alien, which is why I started rewatching the movies, Alien's a great movie, a great horror movie. It's a horror movie in space. It's not necessarily science fiction, but all the people who are in it, there's a world that's believable because they have There are I'm really inarticulate today. They have protocols. They have rules. Right. There are things that they do, and you can obviously within that world make a really compelling story that was totally possible. Like with this story, and they blew it. Like blew it.
Well, you know? I mean, who's to blame for this? And I bet we all know we have a name.
So somebody was saying there's some movie in trouble right now. And
Oblivion. World War Z.
It's a non-geeky movie, I think. I can't remember. And someone said...
I don't know.
World War Z's in trouble? You just panicked me.
Oh, sorry.
Don's going to go home and cry.
Oh, it is? World War Z. Okay, so Brad, so what they said, the rumor is...
Third act problems.
They got the writer to Prometheus to come in and fix it.
Yes.
And Paris went...
Oh, my God.
Now, I then said,
hold your horses.
You just crushed me
right here. Hold your horses, because what if it isn't his fault? What if there was all that stuff made sense at one point, and Ridley Scott came in there and started picking and ripping and tearing and changing? It's hard to tell where the story
it's so systemically...
All right.
I don't think it could have been brilliant and then picked apart.
I'd like to make a conjecture on the production of this. And I'm only pulling from like Wikipedia and stuff, but Ridley Scott was interested again in visiting the alien world.
Okay.
And it came and it went, and eventually he and the other writer, whose name I can't remember, who also has screen credit on this, they developed this script, which was, to my understanding, a direct prequel to Alien.
Okay.
Started pre-production on it.
I've heard this story.
That was in 2010, I believe. Okay. And then at the end of 2010, Ridley was sort of getting cold feet and feeling that, well, I'm just revisiting. I'm doing the same stuff I did before. And brought in Lindelof at the end of 2010. They started shooting at the let's say, May of 2011. He took this script, which I would love to read, and I suspect...
Absolutely.
There are still seeds of it. I mean, there are things like the fact that the horseshoe ship crashes. I so desperately wanted that to be the ship that they go into an alien. And
it kind of felt like it should have been, you know? Yeah.
And I suspect in that original script it was.
Yeah.
But Lindelof and I don't know if I'm saying his name right... And Ridley Scott came in, and I think in a very short time, they came up with these really... interesting ideas, but half-baked.
Right, like some big ideas that were not thought through.
Right, and started shooting.
You know what? We'll figure it out along the way.
I get that feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Lindelof, because of Lost, I think it's not off target to say that he loves to set up questions, and he sets up great ones, but he's not so great at payoffs. Well, you know, I spent 6 years waiting to see how he tied everything together in Lost, and I felt the same way I felt about Prometheus. It was like
there was no payoff.
And for him now to be going on record and saying, well, in the sequel to this is when I'm like, really? Why wouldn't you don't even know if you get the sequel. Why would you not create a movie like The Matrix, where you can have a beginning, middle, end of a story and still introduce very strong subjects and themes, but tell a story that's satisfying?
Absolutely.
And
I mean, The Matrix as an example, The Matrix by itself stands up as a movie. I mean, it's part of a trilogy.
In fact, you should only watch the first one.
No, I know. Yeah. I love the first Matrix.
Probably best not to think of it as a trilogy.
No?
No, don't.
Don't.
Yeah, I know.
So that is what I think happened. And you're just like, you know, and who knows if Ridley Scott and Damon Lindelof will be able to do the sequel. They may, like with the rest of the Alien series, bring on entirely new people.
Yeah.
I don't have... Fox shows no respect for the franchise as far as what they've done with it. Like, to me, when you're just handing it out to Alien versus Predator people, you have no respect for that franchise.
No.
First of all, it should be a franchise. Just leave it alone.
No.
Just let us have those first two movies I can see people who not even liking the second one. Let's just have the first movie.
Really? Oh,
I love the second movie.
It's a different...
Crazy? Show me those people who don't like the second one.
I know, exactly.
There's some people who think, listen, it's an action film. This is not really an alien movie. It's not...
It is an action movie, but I'd fight about that.
It's actually one of those few movies that I know people who hold it up as like an example of sequels that may arguably surpass the original.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
very few.
I think the first one's a horror movie, the second one's an action movie, and I'm fine with both of them. I think
they're both
awesome movies, you know?
I am too. I don't know about any of the other ones, but...
I'm working my way through.
Where would you put it in line of the four movies, Prometheus? Oh, no, five movies. Five movies.
Well, I feel like you just immediately... Everyone will put Alien and Aliens as number one and two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
So now agreed.
Now we're squabbling over the Prometheus, Alien 3. Because Alien 3 next... Prometheus, and then 4. And
I'm going to need to rewatch them. That's why I'm in the process of it, because when I started, Prometheus not only bummed me out the night I saw it, it bummed me out for days afterwards, because I just kept thinking about it. And to me, it was just an opportunity wasted, because I think they did raise some really great questions.
They did.
It could have been an awesome movie, but it just...
I think
it pooped out.
I walked into this movie with a different set of expectations than all of you.
Well, Aaron,
I immediately saw, there was something about the setup where I'm like, okay, this is not a character movie. Okay, fine. All right, this is a very plot-heavy movie.
But did you find that it paid off as an action film? I mean, no. I mean, did it pay off as a horror film? No.
I mean, I was bored.
It didn't.
No.
I mean, where's the payoff?
I wasn't
in this
bored. I got frustrated a lot. I'll be honest.
I think that's all of us from this conversation. We all were just like,
I mean,
can't believe this.
But despite that, I didn't hate it. Honestly, I have never popped out of a movie as much as I did during that one that I didn't hate. The big knockdown draw, this is the most nitpicky moment of all the flaws for me to focus on. I feel insane bringing this one up. The big rolling wheel of death.
Yeah. Oh, Charlize, this is all take a left, take a left.
Yeah, I know.
So why didn't those two dumb bitches come off and
we just got into a screaming match immediately afterwards, where I'm like, they just needed to turn left. Why wouldn't you turn left? And he's like, it's too big. They wouldn't know. I'm like, she fell down. She looked up. She rolled 3 feet to the right. She was fine.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
But despite that, because it was Lindelof, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know he never answers questions. He asks and he never answers. And I was like, okay, we're walking into a philosophy movie, right?
Which is great.
Well,
I think it's
actually very funny that I'm sitting here critiquing this movie, because I'm usually the one who's like, you don't need to actually nail down an answer. I don't need the button at the end.
I appreciate that.
I'm
normally the one
where,
like, if you ask a question, if you ask a question, you better freaking answer it, because I will yell at you. I will yell at you a lot. But for some reason, for this one, I was like, you're asking me questions that I don't care about, so I'm just going to let it go. I can't have a baby. I can't have a baby. Oh, life is so hard because I can't have a baby.
Okay, it was awful.
I don't care. Okay, so now you're going to have an alien baby, and we're going to be in the surgery room. I guess this means something, but... All right, so I'm just along for the ride, and I'm going to watch this thing happen, and now we're going to have alien tentacles. Okay, fine. I'm just with you. All right, I'm going to watch tentacles come out of a room and wrestle with the big white guy.
Just leave the tent.
I thought the movie was okay when I came out, and then the more and more I thought about it, the more angry I got.
I'll have to admit, I haven't really thought about it all that much. I just walked out of it going like, it was what it was. I was okay with it. And now that we're talking about it, I'm like, I'm getting a little increasingly resentful
as this goes on.
You're ruining my experience, you people.
Yeah. Well, Topless Robot has a great, two-page
thing. Oh, really?
Absolutely. I saw that, too.
He's essentially explaining the movie to somebody else who hasn't seen it. And the other person is
funny.
Like, huh?
What?
Huh? Just let me let it go, and I'll get back to it later.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny. I'll put a link to that, too. So.
Yeah, but it's definitely one of those movies where, if you think... At any point, you're going to drop off the bus.
I think they made it impossible
for you not to. If you engage any brain power,
it's
going to ruin the experience.
I mean, they made it impossible for you not to.
Can't bring up big issues like where did we come from and all that, and then just And I just be found dumb Guy, like that.
Right. And not answer him.
Yeah. Again, and, nitpicky point, I just found Guy Pearce wrapped in plastic incredibly distracting.
Yes!
What's the point of hiring Guy Pearce to make him an old man?
Apparently, I heard in one of the cuts, he's supposed to be young.
In the dream sequence where David's talking to him is what I've heard.
But again, still. I'm one of those people where I'm like...
Just cast an...
Cast an older actor.
Yeah, exactly.
Why? Why do we have to do that?
No,
and it looked,
I agree.
It didn't look good either.
No, it didn't. No. It didn't.
All right. I'm getting angry.
Wait. We have to answer your question that you proposed.
That's right.
Where do you put it? What order? And I'm actually going to put it in third place.
Wow.
Over Alien 3 and certainly over Alien Resurrection.
Because, I'm going to go fourth.
Okay.
Wait. Why? You had a reason.
I enjoy getting all worked up and ranting about this movie.
You love to
hate it.
That's
a very good answer.
I love to hate it.
Got it.
And I love that Ridley Scott is like, oh, well, it provokes discussion. This is not the discussion
we're talking
about how you screwed this up.
Because you're not discussing the issues the movie's
talking
about. The end of Children of Men is a discussion you want.
Yes,
the end of The
absolutely.
Fountain
yeah.
is
yeah,
what you want.
Yeah.
You don't want the end of...
No,
you don't
agreed.
Want this type of discussion.
No, agreed.
I'm torn, actually, if it drops into slot 3 or 4, just because... I actually think 3 is a stronger movie by a long shot, but I resent the opening of 3.
Because
it invalidates all of the struggle of 2.
It's awful.
And I understand the reasons for it. You can't do the movie of 3 without... Because they couldn't get the actors.
A smart writer could get around it.
Yeah, I'm sure, but... Yeah. You know...
Even so, I'm going to still pick 3 and then Prometheus and then Resurrection because, I do love hating Prometheus, I have to say, because I could go on for hours about the specifics in this movie. Like, it drives me absolutely bananas. I would say 3, even though you're right, the opening is a problem, but I still think it's a stronger movie.
And I don't like the end of the 3, but 3 has, I think, some of the best acting. Like, Charles Dutton is great in it.
Yeah, no, I do love Charles Dutton in it.
And Charles Dance is in that too, isn't he?
Who? His
Dance? Charles Dance? Do I have the name wrong? He's like the kind doctor that she sort of develops a romance with.
Yeah. But it's an average movie. It'd probably be a good horror movie if it had nothing to do with the Alien series.
Seen.
Right.
Yeah.
But it kind of has that Terminator 2 ending, which is kind of lame.
But 4, like, I just can't forgive 4.
I know.
4
is
awful.
That's just
terrible.
It's...
Oh, woo!
Atrocious. It is.
There is one scene in there. I just like the look of it a lot, but I just can't. I can't give it anything for that.
Step 4 has moments. Like I enjoyed getting to watch the aliens
swim. It is Charles
underwater.
That was cool.
Good.
That was very pretty.
Yeah.
No, and you know, I guess 4 doesn't have a terrible storyline. It truly doesn't. It's kind of.
I'm going to rewatch
it.
It
shouldn't have been.
It's my plan.
The whole clone Ripley and all that stuff is just, it's too comic booky. It's a comic book version of the Alien series.
Well, Fox was still hung up on the fact that Ripley was the Alien series.
No, that is not true.
Really?
Sigourney Weaver was hung up. The rumor is that... They wanted her to be. They wanted to do a movie where she played a bit role to kind of get it in. And she said, "There's not going to be a next Alien unless Ripley is in it." She was also a producer in it, I think.
Yeah, I think she was.
So she was wanted to produce it, and she was the lead in it, no matter what. And that's how that story got written. They wanted to move on. She said, "Alien is about Ripley, not about aliens."
All right.
So I'm actually put that on her. I've read that.
I love it.
That one gets me pissed off.
I can tell. You're like, rrr, rrr, rrr.
He's
don't
really
get me
worked
started.
Up.
JB, do not get me started.
It is Charles Dance, by the way. I just looked it up. Yeah.
Is he? He's in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
That's
Game of Thrones.
He's Tyrion.
No, he's not.
Tywin.
Tywin.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yes.
Oh. Did not know his name. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. He was also in that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he had the bad guy with the 8-ball eye.
Yeah.
Oh,
wasn't that?
Hero.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And he was
Isn't
in the Golden Child.
Golden Child.
Golden Child. Nice.
Yeah.
See?
Wow.
That's right. Eddie Murphy. Bad comedies.
I loved him in that.
It was great.
He was awesome.
Put the sword back. Put the sword back.
That's right.
All righty. Do we have anything else to rant about? Oh, by the way, I saw it in 2D the night before.
Yeah.
I then bought tickets to see
it. I saw it in 3D. I will say, I thought the 3D was really well done. I don't normally like 3D. It's still not my favorite way to see a movie, because I think if you're not totally flush to the screen, you get these kind of pieces of, like...
Ghosting a little bit,
yeah. But I thought that they did a really nice job of it. Okay. It wasn't like a sock 'em pow, like, things jumping out
of
you.
No, it was subtle.
It was subtle, and I liked that.
I would actually be scared to see it in 3D, because I felt a lot of it in the Alien complex was very dark. And
well, just get darker.
I saw the IMAX 3D. There was no darkness issues for me.
Oh, really? No, same. We still
Oh, nice. Okay, good.
They compensated well. But I didn't think, you know, I hate 3D, so.
Yeah.
I traded my 3D tickets and saw another movie that night.
Oh, yes.
I saw Snow White and the Huntsman, and I walked out an hour and 15 minutes into it.
I saw Snow White and the Huntsman, and I expected absolutely nothing, and I stayed for the entire thing and kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, I saw it too, and
so
I'm neutral on it. Like, I was bored, but it was pretty.
It was bored. Yeah. I went to see it because it's pretty, and I thought the art direction was going to be amazing.
Costumes
and I
were
was
amazing.
Very satisfied with that.
I haven't seen it.
Charlize Theron is
over the
awful
top. She's over the
she's
top.
She's almost as bad as she is in Prometheus.
Ooh. She was more of an android than David was.
Yeah, I know.
I was telling someone last night, I said, it would be more interesting if you found out when she said father that she was an android too. At least it would make sense that she had kind of zero personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she had, we could spend 5 minutes.
Yep.
Like this reveal that Wayland is on the ship. I mean,
who cares?
Yeah. Who cares? Why didn't they just announce that?
By the way, he's in the back room.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
we can go on for hours on this thing. But
it is interesting that both of them come out at the same time, just because I found like the special effects of Snow White and the Huntsman.
I thought the art direction was fantastic.
It was utterly beautiful, like utterly lush and gorgeous. Whereas I felt like the special effects for
Prometheus
were actually tended towards the hard,
The landing sequence was amazing looking in Prometheus.
Yeah, that looked great.
It looked amazing. But,
you know.
Yeah, that cockpit shot from above and the windows open.
But that smoke, that steam and smoke, that part.
I just thought it was an interesting comparison where we have this very hard science movie coming out with this very soft magic movie at the same time.
Hard science? They thought hard science was half a billion miles.
The look of it.
Like,
the look
half
of it.
A billion
half
miles.
Half a billion miles from home.
Jupiter.
Dr. Tyson, who was kind of famous right now for just being a entertaining physicist, said he hated the line, "We're over a half a billion miles out in space," because that doesn't get you past Jupiter.
Oh my god,
it's that
so
bad
funny
science.
Yeah. He's really great about looking at movies and critiquing where they get the science wrong. Like, they changed the scene in Titanic because the sky was wrong.
Oh yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they got the stars right in the DVD version.
Yeah, exactly.
The 3D version.
Yeah, exactly.
Alrighty. Well, let's see. Next time we'll be doing Batman. And When does Spider-Man come out?
It's coming
July
out soon,
4th.
Too, July.
It's for July 4th weekend.
Okay, so we may not be able to get to...
I'm not sure if I'm
divorced. I'll see Spider-Man, sure.
I'll see it.
You're going to see it. Really, who are you trying to fool, Aaron Hendricks? You're going to see Spider-Man.
I'll see Spider-Man.
You're going to wear your little footy pajamas and...
Yeah, I'll see. I'll dress up
Spider-Man under ruse.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, this really affected my summer movie.
Oh, you're
I feel
and I have to say, going in just on the expectation level, my expectations were huge. And then I talked
to
you. Since Aaron had gone to the midnight show before the show I was going to, and you were like, "Yeah, so I'm not going to go to that." And I was like, "Oh, so I already knew something bad was going on." And I knew going in, I was like, "Okay, I'm ratcheting it back." And even so, I was like, "Oh, this is not right."
Well, yeah, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be excited about. Batman, I'm curious about.
I think it looks good.
Yeah, the trailers to me ruined it. Like, I
know you hate the trailers. I don't hate the trailers.
Good.
Yeah,
not good.
I'm excited about it.
I still think Anne Hathaway is Catwoman. I'm having a hard time picturing it.
I'm not getting that.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah. I don't love it, but I'm not. I'm.
And Bane
is
just.
Excited.
Bane doesn't excite me. The character Bane is. Like,
But the last movie was great, so I'm going to give that one a fair shake before
I'm a little on the fence about Spider-Man, I got to be honest. I'm kind of.
It's just another
Give another benefit of the doubt, Conan.
I'm more excited about Spider-Man than really? Dark Knight Rises.
Is there anything else we should be excited about? You run the summer blockbuster movie
contest.
So what else should we be looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to Brave. I'm actually seeing this afternoon.
Gotcha.
That's always been out now, right?
Next weekend.
Oh, next weekend. Okay.
Well, June 23rd, 25th.
So. That's going to make a lot of money.
They've got my money.
That'll make a ton.
They've got my money. I'm totally going to Brave.
Yeah, and
Brave looks
looking
Brave looks wonderful.
Yeah.
And I actually might see that one in 3D.
Yeah,
No, I think I'm done with the 3D for the summer. Okay. I'm not a big 3D fan. I've seen Avengers and I've seen Prometheus in 3D, and I think I'm
Pixar animated has always gotten the 3D right.
That's true. I did like the Toy Story.
Yeah,
3,
Up, Toy
3D.
Story, all
You're
of
right.
them that I've seen have gotten
I don't know.
Right.
Maybe I'll reconsider, but we'll see.
And then there's Ted. Everyone wants to see Ted.
I don't get Ted. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm like, I see it everywhere, and I'm kind of like, really?
Hey, will you guys go maybe this coming week? If I can go find Safety Not Guaranteed somewhere, anybody want to go see that? Ed looks.
Oh,
that
I'm
looks
very
like
curious about that.
Yeah,
movie
me too.
To
me.
So, what is it?
It's about the newspaper ad where the guy said time traveler needed a partner to go time traveling.
Yeah.
Safety Net Guaranteed.
Yeah.
It looks cute.
Yeah.
It does look cute.
Yeah. All right. I'll try to round that up.
Cool.
All righty, everybody. Thank you, JP, for helping us out with this
was fun.
Rant fest. But we needed more angry voices. So did you like Prometheus? Oh, you didn't see it? Did you end up seeing it?
Yeah.
Brendan was with us. My 14-year-old son was with us. And
that's right. That's right.
And he thought it was okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You can talk. You want to say something?
I saw... I really want to see Book of Mormon.
Nice. You have a year. You have to wait for 6 months. Right?
September.
Okay. I'm going to go see it, too.
Yeah, me too.
Have you seen it, Don?
I have.
Okay.
That's good.
I'm looking forward to it. All right, everybody. Have a good Geek Week. Bye.
Have a great Geek Week.
All right.
Great Geek Week.